today on Real Radio.
America's in trouble right now. You would think America's burning down if you watch the news. You don't want to know why 10 people sound like 1,000. When people get big and loud, God is never in big and loud. The enemy employs big and loud because it intimidates us. It's just so embarrassing. Nobody likes loud.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. The prophet Isaiah prophesied during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. Isaiah was constantly given messages from God about the moral breakdown of the times. As a matter of fact, his prophecies were so prolific that he was often quoted in the New Testament, even talking about visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and about his return when he sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 35, we saw the Battle of Armageddon come to an end and the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Our future in God's kingdom will be filled with joy. We won't experience death, but we'll have bodies that are eternal and without the effects of sin. God will create a new paradise here on earth during his thousand-year reign. But until then, we can experience kingdom living when we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Now in Isaiah chapters 36 through 39, Isaiah pauses to deal with events that are currently happening in Judah. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the field commander of the Assyrian army spoke loudly to Judah's army to make them lose confidence. Even today, people are screaming loudly to intimidate all those around them. But God speaks in a still small voice when he leads his people. And now continuing his lesson called With God's Defense, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Okay, here's the deal. Thoughts will attack your mind, do they not? You can be in church and thoughts will attack your mind. Isn't that weird? You think, come on, Satan, really? I'm in church for crying out loud. So is he. Think about it. And he's going like this. If you're having bizarre thoughts sometimes in church, that's because he doesn't care about any security detail or ushers or, are you kidding? He will attack. And he attacks your thoughts. And the only way that you and I can rescue our thoughts is if we bring our thoughts under the authority of God's word. And when we don't do that, well, we'll panic. And so, look what he has to say to this, or look what now is said. Now, therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able to put riders upon them. Verse 9, how then will you repel one captain, the least of my master's servants, and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Verse 10, have I now come up without the Lord against the land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up to this land and destroy it. Verse 11, then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, the language, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. Why? Rabshakeh is shooting his mouth off and he's really loud. Everybody speaks Hebrew. The Assyrians speak Aramaic. This is not Arabic, it's Aramaic. It's one of the most ancient languages in the world. And the representatives of King Hezekiah are saying, can you keep it down? Listen, can you keep it down? Don't talk like that. You're going to dishearten our guys. Now, why would they think? You say, Jack, are they crazy? This is the enemy invading. But watch what's going on. The enemy's invading, but they're making overtures of, hey, you want to make a deal? You want to have chair? You want to have horses? You want to have, hey. But he's talking so loud, and he's speaking in Hebrew so that all the Israeli forces can hear it. Why would the enemy speak so loud? To intimidate and to spread the fear. He was speaking to the representatives, you know, like ambassadors, and he's shouting right over their faces, over their shoulders, and over their heads to the enemy. Why? To demoralize God's people. It's pretty remarkable. And again, I look at this and I see that's how the enemy works in my life. Loud, brash. Listen, America's in trouble right now. You would think America's burning down if you watch the news. You don't want to know why 10 people sound like 1,000. Okay? When people get big and loud, God is never in big and loud. The enemy employs big and loud because it intimidates us. You ever seen a drunk that's loud and people are trying to control him? You want to turn it down, buddy? Let's take this outside. It's just so embarrassing. The only thing is the drunk doesn't know how stupid he looks or how embarrassing he is, but there are people trying to help him. Nobody likes loud. And I think what's going on before us, and it's a picture of our day today, is sin right now is so loud. It's so loud, it's screaming. And I don't know about you, but I kind of get the feeling that it's a good feeling. I think that America's getting sick of it all. I think good people are getting sick of it. But you hear people screaming, and they're not making any sense at all. Have you listened to them? In fact, I love when these guys go out in the street and say, "Why are you throwing bricks through windows and rioting? Why is your face all covered up and you're going crazy and setting cars on fire? What are you upset about?" "I don't know." "Well, what is it you're protesting?" "Not exactly sure." Have you seen that? Why? They're crazy. Lawlessness. And it's increasing and loud. I believe sin, when given the opportunity, when it's left unchecked, that's what's happening right now in America, by the way. There's a lot of stuff, that laws that should have been enforced for the last 10 years with George Bush were not enforced. And everybody thinks right now Donald Trump's making up laws. He didn't make up any law. Did you know those laws have been on the books, but the last two presidents didn't enforce them? So he showed up and he said, "We should enforce these laws. They're on the books. I mean, if we want to change them, let's go through the process and change them. But right now they're on the books." And people think he's crazy. And people think that he's lost his right. Those laws are in the books. "I don't like it. Change the law." We do that through the people we vote for. So let's just remember that right now. Don't let CNN dictate your civics. Okay? But have you noticed that when sin is unchecked, it gets so excited, it doesn't know what to do. And when sin starts running around doing its stuff, it always overplays its hand. It can't control itself. And when it winds up, if it gets an inch, it'd take a mile. And we see that happening in San Francisco. You can ride your bicycle in public and be in parks. You can be on the street naked in San Francisco, which is why I'll never go there again. I don't need that. I have enough problems in my life. I don't need to see that guy's problem. And here's the deal, though. They just passed a law. We got to crack down on this. You can't sit on a park bench without a newspaper underneath you. That's the new rule now in San Francisco. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? Yep, you can be naked in San Francisco. Well, how did that ever happen? Crazy always overplays its hand. Listen, crazy can't control itself. This guy's shooting his mouth off. Listen, I would suggest to you that in a spiritual sense, when we begin to let the enemy speak to us, he may start out with a whisper. But if we don't check his advancement in our lives and his temptations that he's throwing at us, we can begin to entertain things that 6 months ago or a year ago, we never would have dreamt of entertaining. And to us, "Well, that's all, I don't know, it's kind of okay, maybe." You never would have said that 6 months ago. How does that happen? The enemy spiritually starts at a whisper, and then he's yelling at you like a jet engine to turn left, turn right, do this, sit down, do what I say, and you're led by him. The life that you're living right now, are there voices telling you what to do? Or is there that still, small voice, God says, that his voice is leading you? Wow. Think of that. I think that's important to us. Seeing how you guys are paying attention, what verse did I leave off in? Verse 12. But Rabshakeh, the field commander, said, "Has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you?" Does anyone, I know, hey, I have a new King James Version Bible. Does anybody have the old King James Version Bible here tonight? I am not even going to say what it says, okay? Even though it's Queen's English. Wow. It's very graphic. Now everybody's looking on their phone for a King James Version. He says, okay. Then look at verse 13. Then Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king," wow, "do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord," wow, "saying the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Syria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria." Notice the "thus says the king" versus "thus saith the Lord." He is really something. "Make peace with me by a present and come out to me. And every one of you," listen, "eat from his own vine and everyone from his own tree. And every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern." Doesn't that sound great? Watch this. "Until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards." Stop right there. Wow. Okay, here it is. What's the issue? This guy is the great king. He's attacking God's people. He's saying God told him to come and destroy you. And now here's the issue. It's always been the issue. It's the land. It's what's happening in the news today. Satan, Sennacherib, through Rabshakeh, his field commander, "You come with us. It's going to be great." Now, as we look at this, in fact, guys, I have a video I want to show you, but not just yet. This force is gathering. And he's saying, "Oh, come on, we're gonna take you out of this land." Why? Because they want the land. "We're gonna take you somewhere else. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be so great." Okay, if it's so great, then why move? If it's the same, if it's just like the land you're in, well, then why move? And if you're gonna be our buddies, then why do you wanna take us out of here? The Assyrian Empire, Adolf Hitler studied much of the atrocities of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire used Jew skins to make furniture and to make clothing from Jews. Listen, remember Jonah? Remember when God told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh"? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. What did Jonah say to God? "No way. I agree with Jonah. I do." Jonah had grown up in a culture where those guys had been marauders and come into their communities and took Jews captive and used their bodies for furniture and tortured them terribly. You guys look it up later, but the Assyrian Empire, King Sennacherib, he would take captive the invading people that he conquered, and he would put the hooks in their jaw down through here, this way and through the nose, and lead them into captivity naked to shame them. That's what they did. Can you imagine? You know, you ever seen a big bull with the nose ring? That gigantic bull will kill you. One little pull on that ring and that bull's like this. Why? Because the pain is so intense. Listen, it's the Assyrian Empire that was able to conquer cities and city-states without firing a shot. You want to know how they did it? All they did is they attacked one city, and they would take all the men, and they would strip down the trees and file the trees into a point. You can look at it online. There's, in fact, again, at the British Museum, there's reliefs of all of those guys impaled in stone. You can see it. And they would take one guy that was in the group, right? He was going to die too, and they wouldn't kill him. You know what they would do? They'd turn him loose. Exactly. He would go run to the next town for safety, and he would tell them, do you know what they did? And they're coming here. Well, do you know what the city did? The mayor, the king, the whatever of the city said, forget that. Listen, we surrender. And from that time on, when you knew the Assyrian Empire was coming after you, you didn't even fight. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. When emotions are in control and they take control, you won't even fight. You know how we surrender? Do you know how we give up? When our emotions win the day. If you're going to die anyway, why not fight? Amen. You know what the other mode, history tells us this, the other mode was all of the men would gather when they heard that the invading army was coming. And usually it would be days before they arrive. They would do what they did in Masada. The dads would take great care of his family and love on his family. And when they would go to sleep at night, on the same night, all of the men had agreed that we would slit the throat of our children and of our wives in their sleep so that they would never be ravaged and tortured and mutilated by the invading Assyrians. That's what the Jews did in Masada. That's how bad. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if ISIS, that kind of story started happening here, and you knew, I'm talking to the guys, if you knew that you've been hearing for 4 weeks that in San Fernando or in wherever this is stuff's going on, and they're killing your children and they're raping your wife and then they're killing all of you. Can you imagine? Think of you. I'm talking to the men. Think about that. They're coming and you have nowhere to go. You got your back against the Pacific Ocean. Where are you gonna go? And there's this conflict within a man. I cannot live. Now watch, I cannot live to see my children ravaged and my wife destroyed like this. I can't allow that. Think about the dilemma you're in. Friends, a lot of people are going through that tonight. Amen. In the world. What would you do? Think. How horrible. So the Assyrian Empire was terrifying. And so, no wonder why they were so bold and bombastic about their propaganda. It was terrifying. And so, verse 18, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has anyone of the gods, listen, what a mistake he's making. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? And then he lists these nations. Nope, they've all been taken. So those gods couldn't help. Here's what's awesome. He's thinking that the gods of the others is the same as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jews. Big mistake. Look at verse 21. But Hezekiah's men, this is awesome. They held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's command, that's Hezekiah's command, was do not answer him. You ought to circle that in your Bible. I think that's wisdom. Yeah. Don't get into a dialogue. Hey, let's debate on that. Why would you accept a debate? Listen, has anyone's minds, do you like debates? I like watching debates, but you know what's never happened to me? What's never happened to me is my mind has never been changed watching a debate. I just always think my guy won in the debate. You know what I'm saying? What do debates actually accomplish? It's just a intellectual flexing. It's entertaining. But I don't think it changes anything. It might help you argue for your case like that expert just argued for your case, but think about it. They and we need to learn sometimes to be quiet. With all that's going on today in our world, maybe it's time that we just be quiet. If somebody says something about you, oh man, did you see what they tweeted about me? Did you see what they Facebooked me on? Did you hear what? No, don't care, and neither should you. Come on, think about it. You can't answer. Oh no, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna write a response. I got another ministry far, far away. I love them. And this woman who heads up this ministry, she's being brutally attacked online. And she got a hold of me. And she said, hey, look, I know you, and I know that you're out in California, and you're used to being attacked. How do I handle this? And I said, and I honestly said this. I said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Let me read it. So I looked at what was going on, and then I said, I called her back up, and I said, here's the deal. You're going to do nothing. Because here's what happened. Listen, everybody. It's just like Rabshakeh and Sennacherib in your life. Everything was fine. But there are people... By the way, they masquerade themselves as believers. God sent me. And so this person starts saying stuff about her in ministry, and it's completely unwarranted. But there are people who disguise themselves as Christians, and their only ministry is to create fire, because that's how they sell their books or their videos or their teachings. That's what they do. They just start something. They get your name. They say something. I bet. And here's what I think. I believe that he was actually, or she was actually saying. And you know what they do? They set that up just like a mousetrap. They set it up so somebody steps in it. And now, listen, you never give a fool that platform. But yeah, but someone's got to defend me. Listen, you can go ahead. Listen. You can go ahead and choose to defend yourself, and God will let you. It's best not to defend yourself and let God defend you. Amen. Yeah, but I need to say something now. Listen, you can say something now and ruin the whole thing. Or you can wait and listen. It may take a week. It may take 10 weeks. It may take a year. His defense for you is never surpassed. He will take care of the attacker. He'll never fail you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 1. Thanks for spending time with us today, and don't allow Satan to keep you in fear. There is victory in Jesus Christ over any situation you may find yourself. With God's Defense, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, real life can be challenging, we all know that. And in order to grow and mature in our relationship with Christ, we need to start with the basics. That's why Pastor Jack has a video series called Real Life Basics, where he takes us through basic yet vitally important questions that relate to our Christian walk. Questions like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And topics that guide us through the importance of church, the Bible, money, our freedoms, confession, and so much more. So if you want answers to some of the basics of Christianity, head on over to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on the Home tab or the Watch tab. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.